888-245-4234-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237. Or you can go to our online audience participation center at www.freedom21santacruz.net/radio. That's freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Now let's start advancing freedom.
Good evening and welcome to the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio program live from the west coast of California. This is our, for now, our last show here on the Radio Liberty Network. I'm Roy Avila with my main host, Michael Shaw. We have a great show for you as always. We're going to be talking about going local. That's what we're doing. We see the necessity for going local, and so that's what we're going to talk about.
Well, Roy, it's been a marvelous 28 months. You've been with me here for the last 12 months or so.
Really? It's come. That's pretty quick.
it has been exciting, and our message, just to summarize it for our listeners out there across America and beyond the borders of America, is that this concept called sustainable development is overwhelming the world. It's overwhelming American society. It evidences itself in what's called smart growth for city life and the Wildlands Project for rural America, and its plan is to destroy the concept of private property, and when they're done, to reduce human population by over 90%. Now, that's not a focus we've made a main one here at Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, but the idea of legitimizing international government, which is what sustainable development is all about, is the idea of total control over all human action.
In every way.
In every way. And, you know, when you get down to the bottom line, you start looking at the writings of guys like David Foreman or Michael Soule from the University of Santa Cruz, California at Santa Cruz, and you begin to see that what they really want is the reduction of human population from its current levels of 6 billion down to a level of 500 million or less, down as low as 100 million, according to David Foreman. You can see that a reduction of human population in excess of 90% is the natural result of the sustainable development policies. And of course, to get there, you've got to eliminate private property. It was George Washington who said, private property and freedom are inseparable. So when you see the sustainable movement into your community, whether you're living in urban areas or rural areas,
and it's there.
It's there. You know, creating government housing in the urban areas and creating
public-private partnerships in education, in business, everywhere.
Everywhere, you know, a public-private partnership, you know, Adolf Hitler called it fascism, and so did Benito Mussolini. There is no difference, and today you see the world leaders, including U.S. leaders, promoting public-private partnerships in most everything they do.
So and all you have to do is listen. I was listening to the radio or something today, and there was a local educational group in the city of Oakland here in California that was talking about their public-private partnership going on in the schools, how they're going to train young people. Train is a very word we hear often. But, yeah, they're very overt about what they're doing.
Well, and our mission for the last 28 months has been to bring this information to the public. Most of our shows are lined up on the website that we have at freedom21santacruz.net. And we encourage all listeners, whether you've been regular or this is your first time, to check into that website. We're back here at the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio station while some of our station affiliates take a commercial break with tonight's final edition of the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show.
The theme being, gotta get local.
Gotta get local. Because the whole dynamic of sustainable development is a global-to-local program. It is globalizing your local community through policies that first attack the essence of private property. You can't have a global regime if individuals have private property. And so the way they keep the economy working in a half-masted standard is this concept of public-private partnership on an economic level, which is just what Benito Mussolini did in Italy back in the 1920s and what Adolf Hitler did in Germany in the 1930s. And it didn't work. I mean, it didn't work because they lost the war, of course. There's other factors involved there, but it didn't work for human beings because it turned human beings into biological resources for those public-private partners, that narrow inside group that ran all things. And, you know, I can look here in Santa Cruz, I can look around California, and I can look across this country, and I can see the same forces building up from George Bush to Arnold Schwarzenegger to the Board of Supervisors in Santa Cruz County. So this is the important message that that we've attempted to deliver over the last 2 months. We'll continue to deliver it, but I think it's appropriate to let our listeners understand why it is that we're ceasing the production of the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz National Radio Show. And that isn't because it isn't working. It isn't because it isn't necessary. It's because guys like you and me and the other people involved in Freedom 21 Santa Cruz have now another mission. And that mission results from the fact that here in Santa Cruz, the sustainable developers have really begun to swarm our local community. So if you're a Santa Cruz listener, take heed to that message. Lob on to the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz website. Give us your information so that we can keep communicating with you and begin to organize the kind of contra dynamic needed to eliminate this dynamic in our community. And if you are outside of Santa Cruz, it's important you understand the dynamic, because it's happening in your town too. It may not be quite as advanced, but it's happening. It's going to progress unless you and others in your community take local action to push the globalist movement out of town.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're back on the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio program. You know, and of course we want to thank Radio Liberty and Dr. Stan Monteith for housing us for these months. And, you know, and they're going to keep their national focus, and we're going to go local. Again, emphasize why that is so important, because you got to say no locally first.
Well, if you don't say no locally, the global to local program, that's what the sustainable developers call it, global to local. That's why the United Nations is so important to their commitment. You've got to stop it locally, because there's no other way to stop it. The federal government is not going to stop this. They are fully committed to an international program, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. The fall de rôle that the two major parties in this country play, it's just that. It's fall de rôle. They're both committed to an internationalist course that will swallow up the vision of America. So it is, at this point, too late to fight it at the national level. The Congress is sold out. The federal judiciary has given full sway to the public-private partnership. There was a unanimous decision just last summer out of Hawaii that really cements the concept of public-private partnership as the methodology in America for progressing. And, of course, the Kelo decision out of Connecticut, which was narrowly decided by the Supreme Court, the Hawaiian decision was unanimous. But the Kelo case makes the first big step in this public-private partnership dynamic for the new American economics very easy, because in that decision it was determined that there is no meaning to the Fifth Amendment's limitation on how it is that local government can take your land, that a public purpose isn't needed. Simply now, all that is needed is a local government to decide that they'd rather have somebody else own your land or your house than you. And they can take it from you, give it to somebody else, not to government, give it to somebody else to do their bidding.
And that's why the cornerstone of fighting back, if you will, is property rights. Because if they can take yours, they can take mine, and they can take yours, and yours, and yours, and yours.
Well, it was George Washington who said that freedom and private property are inseparable. And living here in Santa Cruz, I can tell you that there's a whole lot of operatives out there working who totally dismiss that notion, who believe that while their house is theirs, everybody else's belongs to the community interest. And that all land belongs to a community interest, and that community, designed by a few insiders who call themselves, quote, sustainable developers, will make the determination of all things.
But it can be done. Whatever community that it's coming in, if you talk about your personal experience in your community was able to, at least for a while, stop the public-private partnership from coming into your community, but you have to be diligent. You have to continue to stay on it and pay attention, because they'll come back again.
Well, that's for certain. And it really no longer matters whether you vest power and control in the Democrat Party or the Republican Party. They're both doing the same thing. The Democrats have their Democrat Leadership Council, which was really the brainchild of Tony Blair over in England. It's taken from an English model that has committed itself to sustainable development and to the new world order of world government. And that has the Democrat Party and has them locked up for a long time. But much less known to people is the International Democrat Union, which is comprised of 80 political parties from around the world, including the Conservative Party of Great Britain and the Republican Party of the United States. Now, the International Democrat Union holds its conventions within a mile of the Republican convention every 4 years. And the parties go back and forth, and there's a grand police presence to protect it, and there's a grand media wipeout of any information related to this. And so we find that the International Democrat Union is committed to the principles of the United Nations commitment to a one world order. So it doesn't matter if it's George Bush or Hillary Clinton or John McCain or whomever the next president might be. We're in the hands, Democrat and Republican, of individuals committed to the undoing of the vision of America and the substitution of a globalist political regime that has this end game, a world population of 500 million, 93% fewer people than exist today. So if you ask yourself, what's your destiny, you better get yourself familiar with the political issues that are really running rampant through the world, through the United States, through California, and right down into your town, our town, Santa Cruz.
Well, when the globalists came to La Selva Beach and were doing your consensus meetings, you had success there.
Well, you do. You can have success if you know what the issues are. You can have success, but it doesn't mean that the battle goes away.
Right.
Because there are many failures or defeats for freedom simply because nobody's stepping up to the bar in many places across the country. And that fuels the other side. They have unlimited amounts of money because it's all about creating a feudal system. And the feudal masters are the great foundations of America, from Carnegie and Rockefeller down to Packard and Ford and many, many, many others in between. And so their money is insatiable. Our money's not organized. We simply continue to provide for our families and do business while one industry after the other gets lopped off and lopped down, and increasingly we become reliant upon international global corporatism.
Well, but, you know, as our show is about tonight, it's about getting local. I think it's very important for people to understand that, as you know, as much power as they have, as diligent as they are, it is our responsibility to be equally as diligent, like you did in La Selva Beach. You know, that's why we're going back local.
Well, you have to go local, and that's really what's happening with the people who are in front of the mic and behind the scenes with the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show, we're having to take a focus on what's happening locally. When Freedom 21 Santa Cruz started up 4 years ago, we defeated several sustainable development objectives, including a county-wide habitat conservation plan that would have taken everybody in the mountains and subjected them to a vicious land use control based upon endangered species. I mean, the Endangered Species Act is a real monster lying at the base of all this, and we'll be talking more about that later tonight. But a handful of Santa Cruz residents was able to defeat the combination of the County Planning Department, the Federal Department of the Interior, all of the fire departments. I mean, it was amazing. You had fire guys actually standing up for letting the wildlands get wild and overgrown. They really were. They were standing up for that principle. But a handful of us were able to rip apart their own confidence, and after a two-year seance where they attempted to bring this policy down upon us, it finally rolled up and rolled away. But those same forces, have been behind closed doors for the last 3 years down at the county, and they're coming out now with all kinds of programs to reinstitute their sustainable goals.
We'll talk about the transportation issue.
Well, you know, here in Santa Cruz,
we had a vote.
We had a vote.
An American style vote.
Well, it was a bogus issue, but the public was wise to it. Santa Cruz was the only county in 9 Central California communities. That includes Santa Clara and Alameda and San Mateo, the big population counties in Central California. All had a sustainable transportation election in 2004. It took two-thirds to pass it. Every county but Santa Cruz did. And what those counties got labeled with was new transportation systems of bicycles, trains, and rail, with very little of multi-millions of dollars between the counties going into freeway widenings. In Santa Cruz, you know, it was a mix between these ideas, and the public rejected it with only 42, a necessary 67% to pass, only 42% passing it. So what happens? Well, the former Senate Pro Tem leader, state of California, came back to town and started the Transportation Commission, and have held meetings all over the county in the last month or two to reinstitute the defeated Measure J that only got 42% out of a needed 67%. And my, they suddenly have money for their rails and trail programs coming from state and federal government. They've put on a bogus consensus process, and consensus by definition is a bogus predetermined outcome.
And that is happening in every community. Your community, wherever you're listening to us, it's happening.
Yeah, consensus process has become the name of the game. You know, the Robert's Rules of Order, which kept public discourse healthy and balanced and fully disclosing, have been abandoned here and everywhere, in your community as well. And so you may not have the transportation dynamic, but it could be another land use dynamic or whatever. The
housing, jobs, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Consensus is the road to governmental control. And we're seeing it here. It's coming up full force. And so the focus of Freedom 21 is going to return from where it came, and that is a local dynamic. And our message to the audience across the nation and around the world is that the sustainable development dynamic can only be fought locally. The national governments have surrendered to it, and we've got to accept the facts as they are.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more information.
Policies, procedures, and laws enacted by local government and non-government organizations in the name of diversity, community, and Earth are diminishing individual liberty, degrading ecology, and threatening human life and happiness in towns across the nation. You've likely already experienced some of the consequences of policies that are approaching full implementation, with little public discourse or voter input. Have you experienced any of the following? Restricted freedom of mobility as you sit for hours in gridlock traffic. Mounting limitations on, or even loss of, your private property. An engineered housing crisis that you're being told must be solved with your money by those who caused it. Loss of parental authority to a government education system that seems to emphasize social indoctrination over education. Transitioning of water resources to regional control by non-elected bureaucrats with subsequent engineered shortages. Heavy influence of international and non-government organizations over local policy at the expense of representative democracy. You're not alone in recognizing these and other symptoms of our diminishing freedoms. The adverse consequences of collectivist policies and laws enacted by local government bodies are affecting almost every citizen in your town. Many have noticed and are ready to act to advance individual liberty, family autonomy, a vibrant ecology, and a strong economy. They're doing this by turning their individual initiative into local action for national impact. To find out how you can join others to advance freedom, please log on to freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232. That's freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232. You might be wondering if Freedom 21 Santa Cruz is a liberal or a conservative organization. Are they left or right, Republican or Democrat? But you'll find that none of these one-dimensional labels applies to Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, nor to many of its participants. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz dialogue doesn't take place in a left-right, liberal-conservative dialectic, but on a spectrum between liberty and tyranny. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz participants include people from all political parties, religions, races, and backgrounds who are united in the pursuit of individual liberty and the protection of our U.S. Constitutional Republic. To find out how you can donate to or participate in Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, please log on to freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232.
Welcome back to the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio program. It's Roy Avila and Michael Shaw for our last, on this wonderful station anyway, for our last hour and a half or so.
Will Roberts, if you're listening to us, I have lost your phone number, so call us at 1-800-24-LIBERTY, and Will will be our first guest on tonight's show. Well, Roy, you know, the times are getting tougher for the American people. You know, the dollar has not yet gone into its final flay, which is part of a scheme of the internationalists. First you create the euro, then you create the Amero. The Amero is the combination of Mexican, Canadian, and American currencies. And, of course, they can't get that to happen until they go through a round of inflation. There's no reason or apparent reason then why the M3 measurement from the Federal Reserve, which measured the rates of inflation, the rates of monetary increase in the U.S., has now been abandoned. So that gives the globalists a little more time to play with the American system before it's recognized to have been burned right at its base through the Federal Reserve. What I'm talking about is the out of hand inflation of the U.S. dollar so that the currencies of all of North America can be combined. And at that point, the United States will look like any country in Europe. That is, a country in name only, without the ability to control its own borders, its own currency, its own trade policy, its own essence. And that is, in essence, what the globalists have in mind for all nations around the world. But no nation is more important for attack.
Yes,
than
you are the man.
I was listening.
He's listening and he called it. Oh, you are good. Welcome.
Welcome.
And for our listeners, our guest now is Will Roberts. Will lives in the Ozark section of Missouri and has been a guest on our show a number of times before. And I want to thank you, Will, for the tremendous insight that your heady and heavy research has provided us at the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz base and to our listeners. Because if you haven't heard all of Will's inputs, they're all on our Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio archive, and it is a history, a recounting of history from the 12th century to now, to describe how it is the New World Order has come right to our doorstep.
I believe it's just exactly the way that they came into existence, Michael, and I'm really glad to be on with you tonight. It's such a pleasure and treat to help you to close out the air phase of this, but it is indeed time to become vocal local. And that combination there, the vocal local, meeting globalism, as I say, on the home front as it transitions from global to local, is, in my opinion, and I'm sure you'd share it at this time, the most important place that we can possibly work. The word glocal is a contraction that was put together by Dr. Wally Endow, who was the Secretary General of the UN Habitat II in June of 1966. And when Joan Bion wrote her book, she included a couple of quotes by Wally Endow. But basically, they're building this brain trust by which they're going to run the planet. And they intend to go from the global to the local. And I believe that they have fully made that transition now in all confidence. And they're pressing forward on the local level. But this idea of meeting the sustainable mercenaries, as you call them, at the local level, a phrase I got from Chris Gerner on American Exposé one day when we were speaking, he used the term vocal local, and I thought, well, that's exactly right. We need to get vocal local, and it's such a powerful tool if we will use it wisely and get out and about. And so tonight, if we have a few minutes, we could go into some of the things that I think are important to get that message out locally and vocally, to become vocal local. And I think that so far, from what my personal experience, it's an effective tool. And I'd like to see more people get involved and get vocal local.
Well, that is wonderful advice. How does that happen?
Well, the idea basically is to understand, first of all, that, as you've already stated, sustainable development is not an urban phenomena. It has spread all the way out here into the hinterlands. We're a little teeny county out in the southwest corner of Missouri. But unfortunately, we are right north of Benton County, Arkansas, and they have the headquarters of Walmart. And the Walmart has opened up an IT center in Missouri, in McDonald County. And we also have Simmons, the big chicken manufacturer, chicken producers. We've got Tyson Foods and others here. And as a result, there are thousands and thousands of people who live in Benton County, Arkansas, and they're coming north.
Now, hold that thought. We'll be right back at Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. We're back here at the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio station while some of our affiliates take a station break with our special guest, William Roberts. Continue on, William.
Okay. And so in this concept, then, of this northward expansion of the Benton County, Arkansas group, there's also Washington County in northwestern Arkansas. They're impacting very strongly the two southernmost and southwesternmost counties of Missouri. They're Berry County and McDonald County. And as a result, we're starting to see everything manifest just right on target, right on plan, that you would expect under Sustainable Development and Agenda 21. For instance, for economic development groups in just McDonald County, we've got the McDonald County Community Development Council, the McDonald County Planning Commission, which is newly formed, the McDonald County Industrial Development Authority, the McDonald County ACE, that's the Arkansas Communities of Excellence. How that came into Missouri was through another program called MAP, the Missouri-Arkansas Partnership, and this is an actual erasure of the state boundary, the state border between Arkansas and Missouri as we merge these four counties. We also have the Anderson Planning and Zoning Committee, the Noel Planning and Zoning Committee, the Southwest City Planning and Zoning Committee, Southwest City Industrial Development Authority, Pineville Planning Commission, and the Goodman Planning and Zoning Committee. And this is in a county of 20,000, plus or minus, a few very small communities, but they're growing rapidly. And we have a highway corridor, Highway 71, and so what we're seeing along this corridor is the northward expansion of urban sprawl. Wherever there's a highway in America and there's room along the sides, we sprawl. Now, we've got a brand new interstate being built. We're going to be not far off of the NAFTA corridor, the corridor from Texas all the way up to, Canada?
Well, it's the corridor from Mexico all the way through Canada, crossing the United States.
Yes. And so all of this, the dynamic is in place and it's happening, and we've got all of these appointed and unelected boards and committees and councils. But as I've started to get into this and pierce this veil, I'm finding that there are a great duplication of members, persons, people that are serving on two, three, four of these various and sundries. And as you recall perhaps from I think I sent you an email and I was looking into the University Extension Program, there seems to be a considerable amount of information that's being disseminated from the University of Missouri that in the community development area that is basically facilitation manuals, how to do it, how to deal with the disgruntled public, and so on and so forth. And if you remember in the Fabian Freeway book by Rose Martin, there's a quote in here. It says, quite simply, the Fabian Society, wanted to change the world.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Go ahead.
We're back on the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio program with our guest, Will Roberts. We're talking about...
Well, Will, you've made a great explanation for how it's being done in southwest Missouri, but the same pattern is everywhere of blurring boundaries, erasing borders for all practical purposes, county borders, state line borders, and, of course, when you boil down what's happening on the national borders, you see the same dynamic there. Sustainable development has as its core the blurring of boundaries so that globalist institutions can take over, eradicate the American Constitution and Bill of Rights and Declaration of Independence while we all become part of a global community.
That's exactly right, Michael. And it's coming on us and at us, as Chris used to say, and it's coming faster and faster. And so this idea of becoming vocal local then as we go out, again, the Fabian Society here, they said quite simply they wanted to change the world through a species of propaganda termed, quote-unquote, education, which would lead to political action. And so when I studied the University of Missouri website, the University of Missouri Extension website, and found this treasure trove of change agent documentation, it helped to give me an idea to what to look for in the community. And then by going out into the various community meetings and listening and talking, we're starting to see the pattern. But the idea is to form a group, because to do something at this magnitude. Now, you mentioned in La Selva Beach it was just a handful, and in any area, whether you're out in the rural area, whether you're in the cities, any place you are, you want to team up. And the best way to do that, in my opinion, is either to join a group, get involved with a group that's already in existence, or form one of your own, and it's not that hard. You know, just about everyone has a voter's registration card, and if they look at the voter registration card, they'll see that they belong to a voting precinct. It's assigned by the county's election authority, and if you go to the county election authority and take your voter's card, you can ask them for a copy of the map of your voting precinct, which they'll supply to you. They have those maps already xeroxed off, and they give them to their election judges, And so you can acquire that for 25 cents or perhaps for free. But when you have that little map that shows your voting precinct, there's your boundaries. It's the smallest, it's the most fundamental, the basic building block. It's the smallest political subdivision in our constitutional Republican form of representative government, and it's an excellent place to start. So with the little map, then you can either drive around and get a feeling for where your voting precinct is, or you could get a reverse directory or a telephone book and start contacting some of the people to drive around, knock on doors, and get to know the people in your area, and you will find that there are quite a few who have exactly the same perplexities on their mind as you have on yours, and they would be glad to get together. Now, from that stage, it's a simple leap to find a community center. Now, in the Midwest, most all of the small towns and the villages and hamlets have a community building, which you can, for a small fee or a donation, you can get it for one night a week or one night a month, and then you can have a small meeting. And I have neighbors that have done just exactly that, and this little group is growing. And so it gives me an opportunity, just like we're talking this evening, to go over some of these things and to lay out all the books. But it also helps me to have more people to go to these meetings. And it is so important. I like to say that you want to leave in a group, you want to arrive in a group, and you want to come home in a group if you can.
Well, I've heard you say that. I would suggest that it may depend upon what kind of community you're in. If you're talking about engaging with the sustainable developers here in Santa Cruz, for instance, the government of the county is run 100% by those committed to sustainable development. If you walk in as a group, you will be ostracized as a group and you will be cut out as a group. So if you're dealing in a community like this one, you're much better to walk in individually, sit on opposite sides of the room, and support each other's comments and demand answers to your reasonable questions that don't get answered when the first time they're asked.
That's very good strategy. And I think every room and every group is a little bit different. And when you when I studied Robert's Rule of Order, I used to be a registered parliamentarian, but when I studied that, I found that not every group has bylaws. And in groups that are assembled that don't have bylaws and rules of order previously established, that during that period, generally, you can pose questions in the form of a motion without saying, "I move," and then proceed to amendments and various and sundry other items. If you understand the dynamic, if you will, if you want to use that word of parliamentary procedure, if you know it well, then you can look for openings and you can get input into these meetings and actually alter the course of the event. Some of the groups, and I know that you've been to plenty of them, and I have as well, to these meetings, a lot of them know more about Robert's Rules of Order than to call the meeting to order, and then to make a motion, and then vote on it, and then call an adjournment. That's the sum total of what they know. And so anything more than that you understand, you have kind of a leg up. You kind of know how to be able to perhaps suggest, "May I suggest, sir, that we amend the motion to this?" Or start to, you can use some of those techniques. But Robert's Rules is just one of them. Another thing to understand in all of this...
Well, let me interrupt for a minute, because here in Santa Cruz, in some of the more advanced counties of the sustainable monolithic assault on individual liberty, they pay no attention to Robert's Rules. They run by what they call consensus, which means you get the wand leader up in the front who stands there and says, "Now, we're not going to take any comments from anybody unless we want to accept your comment, and you're going to listen to us, and that's our program." So you go to these phony consensus meetings where you're broken down into little tables and you can talk at your own table, but if you don't say something on their script, they don't write it down, so it doesn't get into the general flow of the community expression in any event. The consensus rules, and we've got a lot on our website about there are no rules to consensus other than to keep independent thought from being expressed. If you're in a county like this one where it's run not by Robert's Rules but by, quote, consensus, you need to understand what that process is. We have plenty of writings that will give you the understanding. Some of them very short. All you need is one or two of them so that you know what you're dealing with. And then you need to meet, as you've suggested, with others in advance and plan your methodology for breaking down the phony consensus. It's a contrived, manipulated methodology that that has been worked out by high level psychiatrists around the world for purposes of taking people down a road that has been predetermined. I mean, here in Santa Cruz, we have the new traffic consultant dynamic headed up by the former state Senate leader, a man named Fred Keeley, who's run these meetings over the last month around our county. And, boy, you don't get a word in edgewise because it's so controlled. That is the process of consensus. So they get the result that they planned at the beginning out at the end, and here we are moving toward our bicycle and rail line transportation system with no attention paid to roads or the widening of the freeways, which is so dramatically needed and desired by the citizens of this county. So it is, you got to get yourself, if you're in a county like ours, you got to move the county away from this phony consensus process and into a legitimate situation, dynamic of Robert's Rules of Order.
Precisely.
Run this country for 200 years and run it well at the local levels, and it's being abandoned very quickly by very many communities.
Well, it came in with, in my my research and in my own personal experience, it came in under Bill Clinton as the NEPA process, the National Environmental Policy Act, and it basically set up this new format for having public meetings. But when you're in a situation where you are, when you find yourself in a situation where you have this advanced cancer that's already in, I'd agree that it'd be very difficult to get them out of that. But in the rural hinterlands and in other communities where this has not metastasized, or whatever you want to call it, I believe that the most effective thing that you can do is to not allow yourself to be diapraxed. Don't allow the consensus meeting to even begin. If you see flip charts and tables pushed in chairs, pushed in circles, straighten the chairs out and sit down. Make them force them to make you get up again. They're treating you like children, and that is just not something that an adult needs to be, disrespectful a way to treat adults. They're trying to get you to sit in a circle on the floor and read your story, but let's just move those tables back and then pose a motion. A move that we just go ahead and discuss this as adults with motions and amendments, and just forego this go around the circle program. Because in the fellow that came down from the Missouri Southwestern, I think Dr. Simpson, I think his name was, he started that program. He also facilitated the meetings in Benton County, Arkansas. And I can look at his chart that he has. There's a photograph in the newspaper, front page. And here on his chart, he has the same stuff that we had at a planning commission meeting, the new one, the second meeting that they had here, during a brainstorming session. So these, as we know, are predetermined outcomes. And you might get 50 people in the room, you might get 20 people in the room, and they'll pose this, 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 and that. But the bottom line is you're going to see water, you'll see transportation, you'll see land use, and perhaps one or two other items on the list, probably not more than five, that ever make it back out of the committee back to the people again. So all the rest of the comments will go away. So I believe the strongest thing that we can possibly do, the strategy to use, is to not allow yourself to be diaphragmed. Don't allow yourself to go through this dialogue to consensus program. Be butt-headed if you need to be. Stubborn is all out. And just don't allow yourself to go there. We don't need to go there. One way that you can do that is you can ask, is this a deliberative assembly? If it's a deliberative assembly, then I move that we use Robert's Rules of Order, and we'll go through the minutes, read the minutes, and then we'll have a program period, and then we'll have the business section of the meeting, and then we'll adjourn. And, you know, it's a matter of just not allowing yourself to be cowed, I think, that will be effective in new groups and new committees. It seems to be getting, the message seems to be getting across around here.
Well, that's good. I congratulate you for that, and people from all over the country listening to this show or listening to repeats of this show need to understand that in your community, it is a matter of your taking local action in conjunction with others to prevent this global to local program from taking effect. And there's only one way to do that, and that is to exercise our social responsibility, our political rights, to stand up and require that that our towns run in an American format. Well, I want to thank you very much for all the contributions you've made to our broadcasts over the last 28 months. You've been a regular guest, and for those new listeners who'd like to hear more from Will Roberts, go to our archives at freedom21santacruz.net. Go to the radio archives, and you can put into the search engine William Roberts, and you'll come up with just some outstanding insights that trace the development of this designed New World Order, designed to eliminate America, designed to eliminate freedom, designed to eliminate individuality and independence. You've just done a marvelous job, and I personally want to thank you very much.
Well, thank you for inviting me on this evening, Michael, and best of luck with the new ventures, and I know the La Selva Beach needs to worry.
Well, you know, we're gonna try to make some moves here in Santa Cruz, and you know, it's gonna be an uphill battle. We're not gonna tease ourselves about that, but you know, you don't just roll over and let your own life and the lives of your children and their offspring be subjected to the tyranny that is sustainable development.
Shorten your steps, take deep breaths, and proceed on, my friend.
Well, thank you very much for all that you've done here.
Thank you. Good night, Michael.
Good night. And next, we're going to have two guests, one of who's been with us a number of times and one who is new. Dr. Michael Kaufman has been with us many times. He opened our War on Reason series, which you can get the, what is that, about 10 or 12 hour CD opened by Michael Kaufman. And Dan Byfield, who is also with us, and Dan's been with us several times before also. Dan is with the American Land Foundation, and
welcome, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Dan.
Hey, Dan.
How are you?
Okay, how are you?
And Michael Kaufman, do we have him on the line?
Yes, you do.
All right.
Michael Kaufman, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mike.
Well, we got off to a slow start today. My mistake. I was I was lacking my phone numbers, but we're rolling now. And gentlemen, tell us about the Wildlands Project, which is coming down from Washington D.C. into every state in the union, and tell us what that's all about.
Well, Dan and I have been involved in this for quite some time. It was back in the late 1990s that I began to become aware of a program called the Wildlands Project that was being developed by a group of very radical environmentalists and their organizations. And I then in early 2000s, I saw it was part of an intricate system with the Convention on Biological Diversity. Not the early 2000s, early 1990s. I'm getting the dates out of order here. As I began to realize this and the fact that this Wildlands Project was becoming the centerpiece of the United Nations treaty, I started to pay attention, and one thing led to another. They tried to get the treaty ratified in August of 1994. We were able to stop them then. And then we finally stopped it once and for all by showing a huge, horrible map of what this Wildlands Project would do to the United States, to the U.S. Senate, and it died right on the vine. The treaty was never even voted on. We thought that was the end of it.
Well, that was good news. That was good news. But this is 11 years later, and what's happened since?
Well, a lot of things have happened since. One of the things that they want to do, you have to understand that these people, in many cases, are absolutely convinced that they are right and that we have to save nature at all costs. To them, and many of them, they actually believe that nature is God. Nonetheless, the fact is that they want to set aside up to one half of the United States into wilderness areas that are off limits to human use. You might have day use that.
Use of the resources as well as recreational use.
Yes, correct. Occasional, what they call ecotourism, stepping into a wilderness area, the 50% that's off limits, but then leaving that night or leaving a very small footprint if you stay for a couple nights. This would be about the extent of the use. The animals would have the dominant use of those areas, and we would be, the human beings would be in little enclaves throughout the United States.
Called
this
smart
is what
growth.
The map showed that we used on the U.S. Senate floor, and it literally shocked the senators into not even voting for it.
Now, this is Roy Avila, but a couple of things. One, when you say they, who are they?
Well, you have a number of organizations, but the one of the biggest ones is the Nature Conservancy. They are pushing this hard. You also have tremendous funding from what's called the Environmental Grantmakers Association. Hundreds of millions of dollars a year goes into this. And they are, if you look at our Taking Liberty series that we produced, Dan and I produced last year, you will see how far they have actually advanced without the authority of the United Nations Treaty by doing a piecemeal, calling a variety of different names, open space, wildlands, greenways, all these different aspects of...
I know recently they just bought, I don't know, hundreds of acres right around the corner from us in Monterey County. I mean,
yes.
They're just buying and getting land any way they can.
Any way you can, and that's the key thing that I think we need to realize, and maybe Dan can pick it up here, is that the land that they are picking, they can't afford to pay for everything. And what they're doing is doing conservation easements and regulation, and Dan has really been involved in the conservation easement issue. And Dan, if you want to address that, I think it would be a good time to do so.
Sure. The Nature Conservancy is the absolute worst in this whole scheme. But what I've discovered and been trying to educate people about is how they are using conservation easements to literally take millions of acres and manage it. What they do is promise landowners tax breaks and incentives and cash payments up front if they literally will sign away all of their rights. And, you know, the landowner is caught between a rock and a hard place, and they really don't have any other option. And along comes an organization like the Nature Conservancy, who claims they're the good guys in the white hats, and they're the ones that have created this whole mess to begin with, literally. And it's just the biggest horrible scheme going on and being perpetrated in this nation that I've ever seen, really.
Would you say that the landowners get in that situation because of decisions that local municipalities and boards of supervisors and city council people make?
Oh, it's definitely a part of it. I mean, it's they use the sustainable development issue, the urban growth, preservation of farmland, you know, watershed management, you name it. It's entwined in every form of our government, from the local to the state to the federal.
Endangered Species Act?
I'm sorry?
Do they use the Endangered Species
Act? Sure they do. Yeah, the Nature Conservancy, that's been their first tool in their toolbox that they've used from years past. They've become so sophisticated that they're using all other means now to create their huge land lockup that's going on. But conservation easements have become really the main tool they're using because, like Michael was saying, they can't buy it all, but they can certainly entice landowners to give away their rights, and they hold the management and the use of and development rights of millions and millions of acres across this country.
And what that means, of course, is that as the decades pass and those rights fully vest into the hands of New World Order agencies like the Nature Conservancy, that the New World Order, in very limited hands, will control resources around the world.
Well, and let me carry one step further. What I think is going on, and Michael, you and I have had this conversation, is that when you place a conservation easement on a piece of property, that the holder of that easement is somebody like the Nature Conservancy. Those landowners eventually get sick and tired of being told what they can and can't do on their land because they can't develop it. They gave that right away, and they sold that right away. And along will come the Nature Conservancy back to them and said, look, we'll buy your land from you. And they'll say, great, well, you know, what are you going to pay me? Well, it's not worth as much as it used to be, but we're going to pay you. So they buy the land in fee. And what happens then is those estates that were split before, where you gave away a certain amount of your rights and retained some, have now gone all to one entity, the Nature Conservancy.
Yes.
And they merge, and the conservation easement is extinguished at that point. And what I think is happening is that these people are so smart and so devious that they know in the future we're going to have babies, we're going to have children, and we're going to have grandchildren. Everybody's going to have a place to live. And so what I think is going on is that they are they're gobbling up all the terrific land that's going to be developed in the future, and they're the ones that are going to own it.
Well, along those lines, isn't it true that other groups like the World Wildlife Fund have gobbled up land all over the world and then
yes.
under the guise of saving the environment, then turned around and develop it like any other sure. profit-making organization?
Sure. Nature Conservancy does it all the time.
Yeah. The debt for equity swaps, debt for where they actually go in and forgive debt, but they lose their development rights and so forth, that then go to one of these world organizations that can, just like Dan was saying, eventually develop it into and actually be the one that enriches themselves at the expense of the people in those nations. We're seeing that both at the global level as well as what we're talking about here at the national level.
Well, Robert Theobald, who's a regular guest on the show, talks about how the green belts in England are now being developed by the Nature Conservancy and the rest of these organizations. So the pattern has already swung itself that far around over in England. But, you know, what I read is that, you know, a lot of the writers and originators of the Wildland Project, people like Dr. Michael Soule up here at the University of California, Santa Cruz, or David Foreman, talk about the result of implementing the Wildlands Project along with the Urban Smart Growth Projects is an ultimate world population of 500 million or less. That's a 93% reduction in current human population levels. How do you react to that?
I think it's absolutely true. I think that's what exactly they're trying to do. And I think that they realize that the value of private property rights, that's what drives wealth creation. There's no question about it. We don't have time to get into it tonight, unfortunately. But there's no doubt about it that the basis of wealth creation for any group of people, for any individual, for any nation, is private property rights. There's a very good reason for that, and the fact is that if you have private property rights, you have equity, and when you have equity, you can borrow against that and start a business and so forth that builds into developing your own wealth, which develops the wealth of the country. And this has been shown several times over in the last 7 or 8 years, and what they're doing is basically taking private property rights and flushing it down the toilet so that the government basically controls all of the land, which then stifles wealth creation, which puts us into, and it will, what I have been seeing and reading about what's happened to some of the third world nations and so forth, it will put us down, and within a generation or two, we will be a poverty-stricken nation if we lose our private property rights and the ability to create wealth.
Well, that is the thrust for the globalist order, and they've got to beat the American wealth away, and that's what we need to defend against. We'll be right back here at the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio station as we begin our second hour. Don't go away, gentlemen.
The views expressed on tonight's Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show are the opinions of neither this station nor its sponsors. In fact, they're not necessarily the opinions of Radio Liberty or of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. The views expressed by the host are those of the host. Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests are theirs. Whether you agree or disagree, please join in. To participate, you can call during caller segments at 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237. Or you can go to our online audience participation center at www.freedom21santacruz.net/radio. That's freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Now let's start advancing freedom.
Welcome to the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show for our second hour this evening and the last hour of our broadcast here on Radio Liberty Network. And if you missed the first hour, the reason we're moving off this this wonderful forum is because here in Santa Cruz, while the sustainable developers have been working underground the last few years, they've come up with full force with all kinds of new world sustainable development consensus councils being formed. And so our focus at Freedom 21 is going to be to look more closely at what's going on right here in our hometown. We're going to continue with our Freedom 21 Santa Cruz report that we put out periodically. If you're not receiving the report and you know, I'm going to assume you're listening to our radio show, you want to know the latest in the global local program called Sustainable Development, backed by the Democrat Party, backed by the Republican Party. Neither of them will talk about it. They're just jamming it down our throats while they pretend to fight with each other. You want to know what's going on? Subscribe. Go to our website, freedom21santacruz.net. Subscribe for getting the report. You'll get some nice, easily digestible information. And you can, as Will Roberts in our first half hour here tonight said, you can begin your own local dynamic for bringing an end to this global local program, which has targeted every county in the United States. But now we're going to continue our interview with Dan Byfield and Michael Kaufman, talking about the Wildlands Project generally and how this fits into the broader scheme of sustainable development. And so welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Dan.
Michael, let me say something real quick here. Last year, I called Michael Kaufman and wanted to know, since he had done such terrific work about 10 years earlier to defeat the treaty on the Senate floor, how far the Wildlands Project had been advanced. And Michael thought, well, sure, I can do that. And once he got into it, he found out that it was a huge ordeal and project, and Stewards of the Range came in and helped us, along with the American Land Foundation, to help fund it to pay Dr. Kaufman to put all this together. It came together in a program called Taking Liberty, and we have it on a CD, but it's also on the web for free at www.takingliberty.us. It's a terrific program, and it will show you how our federal government, how these land trust organizations like the Nature Conservancy and all these organizations have advanced the Wildlands Project to the point where they're almost where they want to be. It's the scariest thing you've ever seen, but we've actually got it online.
And it really speaks, I think, to the issue of diligence on our part. Even though we may stop or fight it at one point, the globalists continue to circumvent us at every point.
Well, and if you've not seen Taking Liberty, you really need to. Any listener of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, whether you're new or you've been doing this for a good while, needs to see the very digestible Taking Liberty CD. We sell it here. I'm sure you can get it at Michael Kaufman's website and at Dan Byfield's website and certainly at Stewards of the Range website. But you want to know about Taking Liberty and how it is that America is being remade right under your nose, my nose, and everybody else's nose. We'll be right back at Freedom 21. We're back at the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show for our final hour. And we're starting this hour off with our guests, Michael Kaufman and Dan Byfield. And these are two gentlemen who have been enormous in bringing forward the information that we've relied upon and everyone else who's fighting the globalist movement, the takedown, the takeover of America. If you've not gotten the information from Michael Kaufman and Stewards of the Range, and coordinated in part by Dan Byfield, the CD Taking Liberty, you really need to get access to it. And gentlemen, what I say is that everyone ought to be taking that to their local community TV station and putting it on the free access stations around the country.
Yes, it is in DVD format, so it can be done. However, it is interactive. It's one of the things that makes it as strong as it is it allows the user to pick and choose what they actually view. So it's not in the format that would really be suitable for public television, but for a small meeting or something of that nature, well, even a big meeting of people in your particular community, it would be fantastic and really... It will knock your socks off. I can't say anything else. I mean, it's alarming as to how much progress they have made without almost no word being mentioned in the press or anything else about it. It is huge.
Right.
And no votes.
Right. Well, what we did put it together for was precisely that, Michael, but also, you know, take it to your county commissioner, take it to your state legislators. We sent it to every member of Congress. We've gotten two responses from it, so not that we expected everybody or anybody to even watch it, but you know, you would hope that somebody would take a look at it. But do take it to your city council members, your county commissioners, on down to as low a local level as you can, and it will open a lot of eyes.
Well, it certainly will, and that's what we need to do. The money is on the other side, the drive is on the other side, and the people, we're 99% of the population, the people need to grab hold of these issues and neutralize, whether it's Democrat or Republican regimes that are running this country or our states, and bring the information that's really happening to the people of America so that America lasts for another generation and beyond. We're going to be right back here at the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show after a brief break. Well, welcome to the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show. Well, Michael and Dan, have you got any final words you want to give our audience about the Wildlands Project or the sustainable development movement generally?
Well, I think it's very important that your listeners become involved and understand what's happening in the local community, because what you're seeing here is going by 100 different names. But anything that denies private property rights to individuals or to groups of individuals in your particular area of interest is probably part of this overall agenda. When you trace it back through the organizations, the non-governmental organizations that are trying to advance it, you'll find that it's all part of this so-called sustainable development movement, of which the Wildlands Project is a very core component.
That was well stated. Dan, any parting comment?
Well, I think that no matter where you are, this agenda is being perpetrated, and it is. It's in watershed management. It's in urban development. It's in, you know, it doesn't matter, like Michael was saying. It comes under 100 different titles and names. One of the things that always bothered me is that they try to bring people together and form a consensus, and you don't ever allow them to create a consensus and throw away your rights. That's you've already lost if you allow them to take a vote and decide to implement one of these plans in your local community.
Well, that's well stated, and I can give a lot of examples here in Santa Cruz County of how that's happened to farmers, how it's happened to suburban dwellers in Santa Cruz who happen to live along a little creekway, and it's happening to everybody, and it's happening in all kinds of ways. So it's so important that if you missed our first hour, Check it out on our website, because Will Roberts talked about how it is you need to organize yourselves at the local level to brush this global monster out of your town and out of your county. I want to thank both of you gentlemen for all the work you've done for so long and so effectively, and I look forward to the day when the results of our work end up in a renewed and reinvigorated America that stands for the ideals that the American nation was founded upon. Thank you very much for being here tonight.
Thank you, Michael, and best of luck on your efforts there in Santa Cruz. If you're successful, you must have a technique to doing it. Let us all know.
We'll keep in touch.
Well, sure. Just because we're leaving this format doesn't mean that we won't be in touch with you. Stay on our website.
Right.
We need to stay together.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Michael.
Well, we're going to move on now, and we're going to have a new guest to the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show, Mr. Fred Grant from Boise, Idaho, an attorney with Stewards of the Range. It was mentioned in our last section. Stewards of the Range, of course, has been headed up by a man named Wayne Hayes, who's been a guest on our show. If you didn't hear Wayne Hayes or you want to hear him again, go to our archives at 2 hours in late 2004 with Wayne Hayes, one of the greatest interviews we've done here. Just a spectacular forum of information. And today, Fred is with us. Will be with us for the next few minutes to talk about Stewards of the Range and the issues that we've been dwelling on for a couple years here. Fred, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, it's nice to have you with us tonight.
Well, it's nice to be with you. I enjoyed the last few minutes of, I think that was Michael Kaufman that I heard.
Yes, and Dan Byfield.
Yes, yes. I've worked with both of them. They're very fine men.
Well, they are, and clearly Stewards of the Range has been a force in many ways for the response to this takedown of America that has accelerated its pace and is being run by both political parties and which has globalist overtones and which can, you know, in my view, can only be fought at the local level. I mean, our goal is to spread that word nationally so that everybody begins to grapple with the reality of it at the local level, making sure that their local politicians understand the issues and stand on the right side of liberty and individual freedom. Tell us about Stewards of the Range and what you folks have been doing, and deliver us the message.
Well, I joined Stewards about 9 years ago. It is a non-profit, private, property-oriented organization with over 8,000, 9,000 members. And these aren't corporate members. They're people like all the rest of us who own property, private property, and it's being threatened daily under one of many federal statutes, state statutes, and zoning plans, general comprehensive plans that are being manufactured at the federal level and passed through professional planners to some counties, such as some of those that I'm sure you're familiar with in California, including the county you're broadcasting from. About 3 years before that, I started working on the same theory that you're talking about, and that is that even then it became clear to me that we had to fight battles at the local level in order to win. In Owyhee County, Idaho, which is a rural county in southwestern Idaho, just about 50 miles from Boise, 71% of the tax roll in that county is made up of ranchers. And all of them were threatened with going out of business. The Federal Bureau of Land Management had scheduled a 40% decrease in their grazing. And this was under the Bill Clinton concept that cows should not be grazed on any federal land. I started with the county commissioners out there, with the ranchers, who got the county commissioner's attention, and we started a county coordinated planning system. Under the federal statutes, almost every one that affects property, there's a provision that allows citizens through their county or through their city to force the federal agencies to coordinate with them, to sit down with them and try to make their actions consistent with local citizens' economic interests. We saved all those ranchers. They're still in business. 9 years ago, as I said, I joined Stewards, and we started doing the same thing, and I started helping them do the same thing around the country. I've worked with MODOC County in Northern California. They faced the same thing with the United States Forest Service, and we helped them organize locally with enough people who went into their commissioners or their supervisors, rather, and got their attention and got them to force coordination with the federal agencies, and their economic status and stability up there has increased dramatically in those years.
So your basic word is that understanding the issues and organizing around them can make a difference, even with a government that is head-bent on destroying private property and ushering us into this globalist order.
Absolutely. Congress, in most of the bills that have been passed, have allowed some loopholes in there that I'm sure they didn't realize when they passed them. And it does allow also the state statutes. In Oregon right now, there's a huge, and it's globally connected. You can see the connections with foreign industry and foreign countries. There's a huge effort to put in liquefied gas ports along the Oregon coast. And in just about 20 minutes of research, I found a state statute that allows those folks to use their county commissioners or county courts, which are really commissioners or supervisors in Oregon, to state their case to the equivalent of the Public Utilities Commission up there. And I pointed that out to a group of citizens in Medford, Oregon a couple of months ago, and they've asked me to come over and help them organize locally to try to put that into place. I absolutely believe that if you can get enough citizens on a local level to focus on the issue and to organize themselves, that's the way you can protect property.
Well, take the average person out there who may be listening to the show, and he hears that advice and he says, "Wow, you know, I know things are moving in the wrong direction, but who am I to get things going in my own town or in my own county?" What would you say to that person?
Well, I would say that very likely there are other citizens who feel the same as he does, and I would go to them, I would talk to them. If not, I would organize a group. And usually when someone decides that he or she wants to try to solve a problem, it's because they're facing a problem. And ordinarily that problem doesn't confront just them. It may be a zoning issue. It may be eminent domain issue. It may be a property tax issue. It may be any of those governmental issues. It may be a special species that is causing problems to them. But ordinarily, the individual is not alone in the impact. And what he has to do, or she, is find out those others who are confronted by the same thing. And that can be done by simply, if it's a zoning problem, for example, you go and you look at the area affected by the zoning, look at the records in your county or your city, and see who the notices went to of the Zoning Act, and contact those people. That's the way you begin to organize. Or you call an organization like Stewards of the Range, and with about a half hour of questions, I can usually point someone to an organizational effort and to agencies that might be able to help them.
And how can a listener contact you for that purpose?
Well, there's a Stewards website, but in addition, there is a number in Meridian, Idaho, 208-855-0707. They can use my email address, which is my full name, fredkellygrant@msnmarysnmenorah.com, or as I say, stewardsoftherange.org. They can go on the internet and get the information from Stewards and contact us.
Well, good. The mission, you know, there's 3,000 counties in the United States, and not anywhere near enough of them have begun to realize that that their takedown, engineered through global organizations, masterminded by the federal government, implemented by state authorities, has to be fought at the local level. If you're unfortunate like us in Santa Cruz, you've got no local public officials that are on our side. They're all conscripted to the globalist program. But that's not usually the case, and so the real fight needs to happen right down in the sandbox of your own neighborhood. And Stewards of the Range has had success on several fronts, including the issue of fighting this monster at the local level. So I would recommend those ready to put on their grappling pants and defending the ideals of this nation for not just themselves but for their children and future generations, that taking the action that Fred's talking about is what really makes some sense.
Michael, now is about our last chance, too. I fully believe that. I'm 70, but I don't feel 70. But I'll tell you that I do believe that in my work in this area over the last 30 years, we're at the most critical point of our liberty and of our private property rights. And I don't mean to seem overly dramatic, but I really believe we're at the last line to protect them.
Well, I'm 56, and I think the same way. And to carry that a step further is that if the baby boom generation loses freedom in America, all of humanity, for the very long foreseeable future, will be stuck in an enslavement and in a population reduction program the likes of which have never occurred on the planet. And it's our duty, it's our opportunity, firstly, it's our duty, secondly, to address this issue in ways like what you're suggesting.
And once local citizens begin to organize, what they're going to find is that it's much easier than they think. I don't mean it isn't hard work, it is. It'll take long hours, but it's not sophisticatedly difficult. There aren't sophisticated principles of law involved. It's a matter of putting voting bodies in the seats in front of those locally elected officials.
Well, that's a refreshing notion. And for our local listeners, take it to heart. Contact Freedom21SantaCruz.net. Sign up for our reports if you're not signed up already. And let's get going. Let's have some fun, and let's make an America that is worthy of our children, like the America that we were born into was worthy of us.
And Michael, even in Santa Cruz, I know what you're talking about. I know that general plan has gone far down the line, but don't give up. There may be little chinks that you can cut off at some point, and any little chink of that armor of that awful general plan that you can chip away at, it'll make it easier for perhaps a group in 2 years to fight a fight.
Well, that's good advice. I know you did some consultation down in Monterey County here some years ago.
Yes, I did.
Tell us about that.
Well, they were confronted with a general plan that I suppose is about as bad as the one that I've heard about. I've never seen yours, but I've heard about it. It had awful restrictions on the use of private property, particularly in the agricultural area of the southern part of the county. It had limitations on what people could own. They had to have a certain number of acres before they could build a house. They had buffer zones along every stream down there that they couldn't use for agriculture. I went down, and they were in fear of the entire agricultural productivity of that southern county. And they were within 3 or 4 months of the supervisors adopting that general plan.
And when was this?
It was about five years ago. It was before I had my surgery that kind of slowed me down for a couple of years. I would say 5 years ago.
Okay, they're still fighting on that same general
plan.
They
still are fighting. They still have not adopted that plan. And what I did was the same thing, suggest that they put together a committee of local interests who would swarm that hearing room before the supervisors and not hit them with emotion, but with facts and with deficiencies in the plan, and get their, I said, put some labor people on there so that the unions can bring pressure then. through letters and so on. Put on church groups. Have somebody representing the churches. This is the way the people, this is the way the global people have used the system against us, and now we have to play catch up. We have to use that same organizational structure. They did that in Monterey County, and I had lost track of them for some time, but just a couple of weeks ago I found out that they still have not had that plan imposed on them. Although they're getting close again, I understand.
Now they're getting close again, and of course the you know, the movement there for the globalist plan is headed up by an organization called Landwatch.
Landwatch, yes, indeed. Yes,
which is headed up by former 20-year Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisor Gary Patton,
yes,
who is a globalist of the highest order. You know, it's so globalist that we had the Agenda 21 program in 1990. It was called Measure C in Santa Cruz. And, of course, Agenda 21 was not released publicly until 1992 down at the Rio Conference, the United Nations Rio Conference. So this man who is now directing the Monterey County dynamic is long vested in these globalist ideals, and it's why Santa Cruz is in such a sad shape. And Monterey's fought it off, and let's hope they continue to.
Well, that's the point. One of the things that I always warn people about is that when you get organized to fight one of these fights, don't count on it being short. It's going to be a long fight. These folks are patient. They're very patient.
And they're funded.
They're funded, and they know they can outlast. Because if, for example, in Boise recently we helped some people win a zoning battle, a significant zoning battle, the same way I'm talking about, just organizing people, and they went against some big money interests. But my warning to them was, don't take this victory and believe that you've won the war now. You be ready, because they will come back in another way. And that's the message I'm going to try to get to the Monterey County folks in the next few days, is you've got to keep fighting all the time. You've got to be aware and keep aware and stay in the battle.
Well, that's good advice for people not just in Monterey, but for every county in America. If you're listening to this broadcast and you think it's not a problem in your community, you're simply wrong.
That's right.
Because
that's exactly right.
It's coming through the federal government, and it's coming through all state governments now, and it affects every American citizen.
It comes in every federal grant. With every federal dollar that comes into a state, there are planning strings attached that eventually will get this global impact right down to the local level.
Well, thank you very much for the heady work you've done at Stewards of the Range. We recommend to all of our listeners that Stewards of the Range is one of the organizations that they need to keep in touch with, gather the information, and put it to work in your own community.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Well, have a good evening, and long live freedom.
Thank you.
All right. Good night. Well, Roy,
half an hour. Got the big gun coming in.
Well, we've this week and last week are 4 hours of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio shows that I think we're going to package and promote them for a broad distribution.
And I do want to remind people. Well, we're going to take a break real quick here, and we'll be right back. Oh, we still got a minute? 4 minutes? Oh, good. Because what I want to remind people is, you know, we're discontinuing this particular format. Please check out our website regularly. Sign up for the report, because, you know, we've created valuable relationships with a lot of people across the country and across the world. We're not going to cut those off. We're going to continue to provide you information on the website. You know, there's some other things that we have that we're going to do. We might even do more interviews that you can stream from our website. Fresh new things. We're going to keep that. Even when we're coming local, we're not going to lose the relationships that we've forged, because, you know, you've gotten dependent on us. We're dependent on you to stay in touch with each other. So, you know, we're not going to be on this radio station, but we're still going to keep fighting.
Well, I know that I'll continue to be on radio stations around the country, as I have been, and we'll post more of those onto the website, and there'll be plenty of ways to continue to get the information. In fact, for those living in Northern California, next week I'm speaking at the Independent Institute, which is located in Oakland. Check our website if you're if you can make it. You get the information from there as to the precise location. And of course, don't miss the Freedom 21 Freedom 21 conference to be held outside Cincinnati, Ohio, this year in the middle of July. Check our website for the details. That's where you're going to get a lot of good information.
Always.
And for people in San Jose, I'll be speaking at the Free Enterprise Institute
Forum. That'll be an interesting one.
In the middle of August. And again, information for that is...
you like going into the teeth of the lion on a regular basis. In the Silicon Valley, oh, they're about as far along with this as Santa Cruz County.
Well, that's true. And yet people over there don't know that. You know, they vote for these silly transportation bonds without understanding what it is. At least here in Santa Cruz, we were the only county of 10 to turn the sustainable development transportation bonds down in the last election. And, you know, as Fred said, that doesn't mean you give up and take your victory and think you've won the battle. It's just a battle in the war. They're back here in Santa Cruz with all of the worst parts of that transportation bond, headed up by the big man Fred Keeley, who's been a huge politician in this county for a decade or more. And... They act as though the voters never said anything. So democracy is just being used by the globalists in order to get what they want. When it doesn't work, they do it anyway. And that's what the Sustainable Transportation Forum being conducted here in Santa Cruz now is all about.
Well, I'll tell you about a guy who has no quit in him. Our guest now for our last 28 minutes now, Tom DeWeese from the American Policy Center. No quit in that man. Tom, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good.
I can have some quit in me sometimes. But
well, you know, like I said, we're going to get you a helmet for Christmas from all the times that you have to hit your head against the wall from the frustration of trying to deliver the message to people about what's going on in our country.
I'm kind of like, you know, that old war horse that can be pulling the milk wagon down the street and suddenly hears the sound of the guns and goes charging. I can be really down, because I do get that way, because we are having lots and lots of problems, and victories are very few and far between, and it gets frustrating, and I can be sitting there with my head down to my knees, and all of a sudden something happens and boom, I'm off and running. I can't help it.
Well, tell us the latest, Tom.
Well, where do we start?
How about the Endangered Species Act?
Endangered Species Act. Congressman Pombo put in a bill last summer calling for the updating and strengthening of the Endangered Species Act. Of course, it was with a wink-wink that we weren't supposed to think that those words were important, update and strengthen, the worst piece of legislation to ever come out of the U.S. Congress. And we were supposed to think that meant that it was going to protect private property rights. And what we found was it didn't do that at all. It doesn't do anything to protect private property rights. What it does do is update and strengthen the worst piece of legislation to ever come out of Congress. It gives them much more power, much more authority to take your property, and the property rights language that they put into it was for us, but there were a whole lot of amendments added at the last minute, which pretty much took all those away. And so that bill is sitting there waiting. The House approved it. The Senate now has its own version, which is even worse. And I think what's going to happen this year, I don't think, unless they go into the last session of this Congress, which will be, probably November, and what they normally do is these bills sit there and languish for a long time. They can't get any support for them, or we are fighting a courageous battle to stop them, and they don't like our spotlight on what they're doing. And so they sit and wait, and they wait until that last day, that last night. It's about midnight, and nobody's watching. Half the congressmen are asleep on their seats or have gone home, and then they suddenly bring these controversial bills up and pass them. And I've lost a lot of battles at midnight, and you know, that's what I fear about this one. I fear that you know, several things that we've been fighting will run through that way.
And what we really want is repeal, not reform.
Absolutely. There's, you know, the Endangered Species Act has never done a single thing for endangered species. You cannot have a bill or a law supposedly protect endangered species that is so punitive to the property owner that the property owner says, oh man, I've got an endangered species on my property. There's only one, I'm going to lose control of my property. There's only one thing I can do to save my property, and that's to kill this endangered species. Well, that's not going to protect any endangered species. That's exactly what this bill does. We jokingly call it shoot, shovel, and shut up. And that's how a lot of people live. That's no way, in a free society, you don't hide from government that way. You don't fear that sort of thing. If an endangered species is on your property, that means you're doing something right. That means something you've done has made him want to live there. And so for you to lose your property so that, you know, to protect it is absolutely the wrong direction. This is what we have argued for years and years. And it just falls on deaf ears. We get a lot of rhetoric our way, but nothing happens that way. And the Endangered Species Act will never do anything for endangered species, and it is an absolute abomination, you know, and danger to American property rights. And it is the centerpiece. This is the granddaddy of all the laws that we now face. The whole Sustainable Development Program. The Endangered Species Act is the model for all of that, and if they get away with that, then they can get away with all the rest of the stuff we've talked about over all these years or months with your program.
Well, you know what people don't understand also is that the Endangered Species Act is largely responsible for the growth of the Nature Conservancy. The Nature Conservancy is the largest landowner in the world, and generally they come into ownership of lands because poor citizens have been so browbeaten by the Endangered Species Act that they give up to the Nature Conservancy for a few bucks.
Yeah, absolutely right. The Nature Conservancy literally is the world's largest real estate agency. It is a money laundering operation. They trade land back and forth with the federal government. They may have a piece of land. I know this for a fact in the Las Vegas area because I talked with an investigative reporter there at great length on this a few years ago. The federal government owned land on the outskirts of Las Vegas, which was ripe for development, and the Nature Conservancy owned land in one of the more rural areas of Nevada. And so they pulled a trade, and the Nature Conservancy gave the land it had around Las Vegas to the government, and the government gave the Nature Conservancy the more rural land, and then it was development a go-go, and the Nature Conservancy made all the money. So, how it operates.
You know, it was a scam here a few years ago. They were investigated by the U.S. Senate. There was some blistering reports on the Nature Conservancy, and then business seems to have continued as usual.
Yeah, they, I think, are still being audited by the IRS. And the Washington Post, of all publications, did, I believe it was an 8-day continuing of articles exposing the Nature Conservancy in every way, which was an absolute shock that they did that. Our friend Ron Arnold was, I think, probably behind that. But, you know, that happened, but you're right, it just goes on. When you've got that, the Nature Conservancy has over $1 billion in assets, and it got those assets through using government power and its influence with the power to take property And as I said, it's a big real estate operation. It owns, I don't know if it's most of the land, but a good huge portion of the land along the Virginia coastline, and where you and I couldn't buy land there, and we certainly couldn't build a home there. They've built entire condo areas there. They've got a very exclusive beach resort in that land, and that's what they've done with it. And they make the money from it, and all in the name of protecting the environment. So.
Well, and they're drilling oil in I don't know if it's Texas and Arkansas with land that that they grabbed up some way on a conservation scam, and they know how to muscle their way in and make money once they've done it.
Yep, they have all the influence, they have all the contacts, and then when you get the money, you can do everything else. It is just amazing as they smile at all of us and say, "Well, it's just for the common good. It's just for the environment, and we're just the good guys." And I'll tell you something else, Michael. What I have found is that the misunderstanding about the Nature Conservancy. I mean, there's nothing free enterprise about these people. There's nothing personal choice about these people. But a whole lot of people who believe in free enterprise and believe in individual liberty believe that the Nature Conservancy is all done voluntarily, and they're the good guys. And I've done my best to put out information about how horrible these people are and the people they prey on. And but people, you know, they've got this great PR operation, and with $1 billion, you can do that.
And if people want to get information from you on this and other subjects, how do they best do that, Tom?
Best way is to go to our website. We are the American Policy Center. We're located in Warrenton, Virginia. And our website is www.americanpolicy, all one word, americanpolicy.org. And on that site, we've got a lot of articles. We have a huge archive on there of articles I've written over a number of years on a whole lot of subjects. And you can also sign up for our action alert system, Sledgehammer. This is an email action alert system that we send you information periodically on things that are happening on Capitol Hill, tell you who to call, what to do, what the bill is, and so forth, give you the background. You can sign up for that on the website. And we have a store there.
So if I clicked over there right now, what's the hot item on the website?
My latest article, which is about... Why did you ask me that? It's 12:30 at night here. I don't know. I've got an article on George W. Bush working to set up the North American Union.
Oh.
Latest thing I've got on there.
Him and Vicente Fox and the Canadian gentleman.
Yes.
Well, Tom, as this globalization process continues until it's successfully beaten back, what would it mean for the lives of human beings, and in particular for the American vision?
It means that America is changing very, very rapidly. It means that our ability to have individual thought and decisions about our life has to first be considered by the greater good. And then if those decisions don't match that, then they cannot be. That's where we're headed, and everything that's happened in the last, especially it is accelerating. In the last couple of years, it almost gives you a nosebleed that these things are happening so quickly. The Supreme Court has done several rulings. You are constantly pointing out the ruling having to do in Hawaii.
The Lingle decision.
Yes. And of course, the one everybody knows about is the Kelo decision, which says literally there is no private property in the United States today.
It really converts us to a system of public-private partnership.
Yeah.
Of course, Hitler and Mussolini called that system fascism. That's what public-private partnership is.
I think this is what people need to understand about that ruling, or about both of those rulings. The implementation of sustainable development cannot take place without the ability to use eminent domain to control control what property, what is handled with the property, the community development that they use, can't happen without eminent domain. And there were several movements on, very successful movements to stop these kinds of land grabs, in legislatures and in the ballot box and in state Supreme Courts. A lot of these eminent domain rulings were getting overturned. And it is my belief, based on a lot of observation and background knowledge, is that the Supreme Court made this shocking Kelo versus New London, Connecticut decision that said all that is okay, which goes against anything. If you read any documents about the government of the United States and its history and how it was set up and what it should be, that ruling went against all of that, and I believe that it was done because they had to, because they were going to lose the ability to implement sustainable development if they lost the ability to seize property through eminent domain, and I think that's what was behind it.
Which speaks, I had great hope for the judicial branch of our federal government. Clearly the executive had been lost for decades, and you can't find but a couple of congressmen who stand for American values and the vision of the American experience. But there was hope for whatever reason in the Supreme Court, and after the Lengel decision and after Kelo, I don't have that anymore. Now we have to fight to protect our constitutional assurances in state houses. You know, Americans have a right to the use of their property. Eminent domain can only be used for a public purpose and upon the payment of just compensation. Well, the Supreme Court just knocked out the first requirement, so now we've got to rely on state legislation to protect us with our property. Well, we might as well be living in Germany or France.
Yeah, and I agree with you about now the doubts in the court, because I had said many times in the past that, you know, we'd lost in a lot of legislatures, we'd lost a lot of regulations and so forth, but when it got to the courts, we finally were winning. Wayne Hage was showing how we could do that, and we were winning in the courts, but now that Supreme Court ruling has literally taken the court away from us, and now what's happened with that, it's just astounding. You know, the battle goes on in New London, Connecticut, and Suzette Kelo and her neighbor are the last two holdouts. And even the governor of the state of Connecticut came forward and he said to the city of New London, look, this is wrong. Why don't you let these people have their property? And they took their deeds away from them. They said, give them back their deeds and let them have the ability to will the land to their families if they want to, anything that's a normal right of a property owner. And then right into this agreement that if they decide to sell the property any time for any reason, that you get first right of refusal. That way, their families aren't hurt, and they haven't had their property taken away from them, and you still eventually will get what you want. You know what the city of New London said? Hey, Gov, we've got a Supreme Court decision behind us. Go away. And they are now ratcheting up the pressure on Suzette Kelo to take that property, and they, within the next couple of months or so, they will probably have it, and nothing is there to stop them. Meanwhile, as you said, over 40 states have passed legislation or done something. They've either strengthened legislation that they already had, they've passed new legislation, or something is pending. Some action is taken in over 40 states. And also, the House of Representatives and Congress passed the Private Property Protection Act clear back in September, saying that federal funds would be cut from any community that used eminent domain for development, and their funds would be cut. That bill now, the counterpart, S-1313, in the Senate, sits in Arlen Specter's Judiciary Committee, and he is holding up any action whatsoever on that bill. Meanwhile, he's working with the U.S. Conference of Mayors and the National League of Cities to help them lobby other members of Congress to stop this whole effort to overturn the Supreme Court decision through legislation in Congress. And he is single-handedly holding this up while the huge majority of the American people who suddenly realized that that decision meant there is no private property in America, he holds it up. Arlen Specter has become God.
Well, there's no doubt that the important ingredients for the sustainable remake of the American political process is jointly promulgated by Democrats and Republicans, and you've just given a perfect example demonstrating how high-ranking Republicans in this country are deep in the middle of the theft of freedom from Americans.
Oh, yeah. I mean, first of all, the Republicans control the House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate, the White House, most of the state legislatures in the country, most of the governorships. And you know, I'm going to tell you, Michael, I have been a lifelong activist, and the majority of that time I was a Republican activist, certainly a conservative activist. At one time, those two things meant the same thing. And, you know, if somebody had told me when I was in the trenches in the 1970s, you know, what we always heard then was that if only the Republicans could get control of everything, we would begin to tear down this socialist state that Democrats have been building. And we believe that as we worked in the trenches. And there are people today who still believe that. Well, you can't believe it anymore. The Republicans have been in charge of everything for over 5 years, and we have lost more liberty, we have lost more land, we have had higher taxes, more rules and regulations than Bill Clinton and all the Democrats who ever lived could have dreamed of. George Bush and the Republicans have done that without any opposition in this period of time. So, you know, that if you'd have told me that back in the 70s, I'd have told you had three heads. That's just impossible that would ever happen. But that is exactly what's happened. And Richard Lugar and Arlen Specter and Mike DeWine and a whole bunch of other reprehensible people in the U.S. Senate, and George Bush and Dennis Hastert, and these guys are all moving us towards totalitarianism as fast as their little legs will carry them, and it is terrifying. Where do you turn? And they think we don't have any place to go because you know, they've got us in their back pocket because we're not going to join Ted Kennedy and the Democrats. You know, they may be surprised on election day because what we need is a good dose of some Democrats to get in there and start some gridlock, and maybe Republicans will act like Republicans again. I am sick to death of these Republicans.
Well, I think the prescription has to be a focus on your local issues because it's coming hard and fast in your town, and as you get some traction there, then it's the formation of a new national party that vests the interests of the average American citizen above the interests of the globalists and their new corporate order.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and forgive me because I've worked with the federal government and those that level of things for so long, you tend sometimes to just think that way automatically, and you know, you're always looking for a way to get something going there. But you're absolutely right. It is the local level where this has to happen, and the people. So many people don't understand that the most powerful position in this country is precinct captain, working in your own local neighborhood. And making things happen there. This stuff is being implemented now at the local level. It's not coming from Congress. It's not coming from your state legislatures as so much. It is coming from your local city councils and your county commissioners. And those are and of course, as they implement this, then you have all these unelected ruling boards that control everything. And that's where you've got to get involved and stand up and scream no. They are still vulnerable on the local level, and they will go underground, as you found out, for a while anyway. And, you know, that's the only place you have to take the initiative and put it back in their face.
Well, Tom DeWeese, I want to thank you personally and on behalf of our audience for the great contributions you've made to our radio show. And
hear, hear.
And beyond that, the tremendous work you've been doing for, oh, much longer than I was aware of these issues. We heartily recommend that our listeners tap into to your website. And why don't you give that out one more time?
It's www.americanpolicy.org is the website.
Well, thank you again, and I'll look forward to our next conversation, and I'll really look forward to seeing you in Cincinnati at the Freedom 21 conference this summer.
It's been my pleasure, Michael and Roy. I've loved being on the show with you, and you guys have done a tremendous job with the show, and you have spread the word to people who never would have heard it before, and I commend you for that.
Well, we'll just keep fighting together.
There we go. That's the mission. Thank you, Tom. Well, Roy, we're down to the last 3 minutes of the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show.
As you know it now.
as you know it now.
We're not leaving.
But, no, our commitment to a life that's one's own is accelerating. It's not diminishing. And I want to thank Dr. Stanley Monteith and Radio Liberty for these 28 months that we've been here on Wednesday nights broadcasting the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show. He has been marvelous to work with, and the facility has been fabulous for us to use.
And Kevin Gates, our call screener, who's been here every week helping us out. Well, what a guy.
Yes. You know, it takes that. Everybody does what they can do, and that's how we're going to salvage America for ourselves and for our children and for our children's children and for posterity generally. This concept of a global government with few people doing what they're supposed to do, all working, as Will Roberts explained in an earlier interview, for the patriciate, you know, the little power nucleus that runs the world, and is not the world that the average American will subscribe to. And even though the money is good today and it's flowing like crazy, you know, that's there to distract us so that we don't take the real issues while the globalists come in step by step and take our neighborhoods, take our wildlands, take America.
Because if they win, you do not want to look in the eye of your child when they ask you, why didn't you do something?
Well, I think that's a message that we can leave our listeners. If you're not signed up, we know a lot of our listeners aren't, for our regular report that we issue that takes issues that aren't just focused here in California, but that are focused nationally and that bring in the international dynamics of this. We take writers from around the country who contribute to our advanced bulletin, which gets summarized in the report. If you're not getting it, look at our website, sign up, and we'll be with
21santacruz.net.
There you go. And it's been our pleasure to have served our listening
audience. F21sc.net. Thank you, Martin.
There we go. F21sc.net. Sign up for the report. Keep in contact with us. Let us know what's happening in your community. Long live freedom.
Amen.
And remember, America is ours to protect and preserve.
Do something.
There you go. Good night.